Yep.
What was your problem?
What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here, Cheesehead TV, coming to you live on, what is it, Tuesday afternoon? Wednesday? What day is it, Corey? Is it Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Tuesday afternoon, coming to you live, Cheesehead TV. It's a great day. Great day for Wisconsin sports, obviously, with the reporting around the extension for Christian Yelich. I know Corey doesn't like to talk baseball, but I'll give it a shout out. Great day in for 7 more years, plus the 2 he's already got on hand. That's what you like to talk about. Keep him in the fold. He loves Milwaukee. Milwaukee loves him. Salut to the Brewers for getting it done. What's up, everyone, in the comments? How you doing? David, go Pack, go. Nags, would you pay Littleton or Hooper, same team, an amount? Some term and amount. I would probably not pay either one of them myself in favor of extending my own guys and going the draft route and probably paying somebody a little less expensive, say like the Chicago backer, whose name I can never pronounce, but the Polish kid. I'd probably pay him an inside backer and then draft a backer and then extend Kenny Clark, David Bakhtiari, etc. I understand that Gutekunst has Littleton as his number one backer, and I don't think that's a surprise. I am very interested to see how in he gets, and once the numbers start flying, how long he stays in it. Ooh. Ever been to Miller Park? It's amazing. Michael, I have one time. It's kind of crazy. It's been around forever. I went to County Stadium all the time when I was a kid, but only been to Miller Park one time. A buddy of mine is a trainer with the Brewers, and he took me on a nice kind of behind-the-scenes tour, and we watched a game. And you're right, it is a fantastic venue. No doubt about that. Next, how much money does it free up letting Taylor and Jimmy walk? Roughly about $11 million, give or take. Jimmy, it depends on which of the contract websites you're looking at, but Jimmy frees up between $8 and $9 million, and then Taylor's another 2 or 3, I believe. So roughly, yeah, 11, 10, 11, 12, somewhere around there. American Family Field. Don't talk to me about that nonsense. Uncultured, the great Wisconsin sports news today is that Christian Yelich has signed a 7-year extension with the Brewers. So it's pretty phenomenal. Ooh, good question. LOL. Bring back Tremont and Lewis. It's a tough one with Tremont. You got to keep him around if you aren't comfortable with the youth you have there. But the way Chandon Sullivan came on towards the end of the year, Kadar Holman looked good in camp last year. I don't know. Maybe they decide it's time to try and force themselves to get younger at corner. As far as Lewis, I think that's a no-brainer. I think that'll happen. I don't doubt it for a second. Jitsu, thanks so much for the super chat. Looking at Anthony Harris, if he doesn't cost a lot and makes it past the franchise tag, especially with his recent success with Gray, that's I don't think that's a terrible idea. I do think he's going to be a pretty penny to get a hold, to secure his services, and I don't know if they want to spend the money there, especially after the last couple drafts, but you never know. I see one free agent signing, and it's not in the first 48 hours in my crystal ball. Reese, that would not surprise me whatsoever. Obviously, now with the legal tampering window, a lot of teams will have things in place when free agency begins on the 18th or the 16th. I can't remember what day the actual free agency window opens, but the legal tampering period, I believe, is on the 16th. But, you know, those first 48 hours – that's when the deals will get negotiated in those first 2 days of free agencies when things will start to get announced. Last year, obviously, the Packers made a whole lot of hay on that second official day. I am with you, though. I would be very surprised if we saw a repeat performance in 2020. Yes. As a Packers fan, I'm really hoping for the biggest offseason move for us, a Kirk Cousins extension. Shumel L's got jokes. Jeff, what's up? Jack, that's cool. I got to work on Miller Park, the wind tunnel testing, and had Sal Bando and Robin Yount looking over my shoulder. That is pretty dope, man. Goot seems like he sees. Oh, sorry, guys. Hold on a second. Gooch seems like when he sees an issue, he really attacks it, like Edge last year and three wideouts then the year before. Yeah, I do wonder how kind of all in this kind of reclamation project or reconstruction of the inside linebacker spot is going to be, given that that is traditionally within this franchise and this personnel group been a position that they've kind of devalued. How hard is he going to go at this, you know, rebuild, so to speak, inside the linebacking group? I'm with you, though. I think you've seen so far early on signs that he's kind of like Ron Wolf in that regard. Like, if he finds an issue, he's going to go and try and fix it. And Mike McCarthy was kind of like that as well, although he got a little stubborn as he stuck around. But McCarthy, you know, whether it was his, you know, completely changing the workout stuff, the practice schedule, et cetera, you know, things to try and combat injuries, what have you. You know, he was similar in that regard, but I think I'm with you on Gutekunst. I think he so far has shown that if he, you know, identifies a problem, he's going to go, you know, guns a-blazing trying to fix it. With Corona out there, Devontae's words have never been more important. Wash your hands, wash your butt, people. David bringing the heat. Any chance the Packers hold off on the Clark extension to save money this year? Ryan, I would be absolutely shocked. I think that gets done this summer, probably right before camp. You know, I don't think it'll come down to Kenny Clark threatening to hold out, but I wouldn't be surprised if those rumblings started the closer we got to camp and if there haven't been negotiations. The Packers, as Russ Ball has been in the building, they have had precious few, if any, actual real holdouts. You know, you got to go back to, I think, Ryan Grant and his kind of rumblings and stuff during the summer of 2008 when he got a new deal. I mean, it's been a long time since they had any kind of contentious back and forth / holdout type situations under Ball. You know, obviously that was Thompson, but by extension, the contract guy was Ball and still is. So yeah, I do think they'll get Kenny done this summer. I don't think there's any question of that. Gutekunst has stated a couple of times that it's a top priority, and you know, I think it'll get done. Ooh, Dawson, that is an awesome question. Better number 85, Jeff Query or Terry Mickens? Oh, got to go Query just for the hair, right? I mean, that's the obvious answer here. I mean, Mickens was no joke, though. Love them both. Can we realistically expect a 900-yard season from Alan Lazard? Reese, I absolutely think you can. I don't think there's any question about that. I understand being dubious. I understand wondering if he can continue, pick up where he left off, / keep developing. I haven't seen anything to suggest that he's not going to keep developing and or that he's going to fall off. In fact, I think he's just getting started. Now, I think his ceiling is limited a bit athletically, speed, et cetera. That's why he went undrafted. But in this offense with Aaron Rodgers throwing him the football, 100%, yes, 900 yards is within reach, especially since you got to think, no matter who they bring in via the draft, he is going to get first crack and a lot of opportunities regardless of who comes in via the draft or free agency. Yeah, I don't think he's going away anytime soon. Thoughts on bringing in Don Terry Poe? His game really fell off in Carolina. I still think he would be on their radar if he sits out there for a while and he can be had cheaply. Obviously that was not the case when he signed in Carolina, but that might be the case now. Still, that said, I do think they'll probably attack the interior of the line via the draft, but again, that's the kind of signing I would expect them to make this offseason. You know, something where it's maybe probably a guy who sat out there for a while, is able to be had maybe on a cheap one-year deal. I wouldn't be opposed to that, and I think that would be the kind of deal they'd have to make this offseason given their kind of limited cap resources. It's early, but any surprise cut candidates? Dean Lowry? I think, you know, I'd be surprised if Lowry got cut 1 year into his deal. Ask me again closer to camp and we'll probably get a better idea once, you know, the offseason acquisitions have happened. Although I think anything that they do to create cap space isn't really going to be a surprise because, you know, those names have been out there, whether it's Jimmy Graham or Lane Taylor, like we were talking about before. I don't see any, I mean, and of course, if I knew it, it wouldn't be a surprise, right? But yeah, Lowry, I'd have a hard time seeing that, especially since, you know, it's one of the first extensions that Gutekunst handed out. I'd be surprised if he cut bait 1 year later. Nags looks like he was into Jump in the Stands. Yeah, we rocked that song back in the day.
It's a great song.
See, Corey Banky's with me. That was a great track. It's probably because of my shirt, which I shouldn't have wore. I shouldn't wear this shirt on camera. I forgot. What's that? Why? I know. Packers fans, I don't know what they're doing. Banky. What's up, Nags? What's up, Angel? You think Aaron will play into his 40s? I think he wants to right now. Who knows if he changes his mind as the years go on? But yeah, I think he can. And do I think he will? I think there's a good chance. Now, who knows? Anything can happen, right? Things change very quickly in the NFL. That's why they call it NFL, not for long. But yeah, I think he's absolutely, you know, taking care of his body, and he's clearly still, you know, able to play at a high level and will be for a number of years. I don't see any reason why he won't be able to play into his 40s. Now, will that be in Green Bay, Wisconsin? Stay tuned. Nags, what's the difference between Martinez and Littleton? Ooh, Mark, good question. Littleton's, to my way of thinking, his greatest kind of plus over Martinez is his ability to diagnose and get through the wash up front. Martinez has a bad habit of getting caught in the wash, and once those interior linemen especially get up on him, he is done. He's erased. Whereas Littleton, I think, has a bit more of a counter and is just sees plays better. It's more instinctual. I think he flips his hips and gets, you know, downfield with tight ends in the seam, et cetera, a lot better than Martinez does. I think, you know, people talk about Martinez's production all the time. I think you'd see at least equal production in the tackle space when it comes to Littleton. And I definitely think you'd see a much more fluid athlete in coverage. Now, there's, you know, that's one of the big reasons why I think he's going to be coveted and going to cost a pretty penny. And I, as I said before, I'm very interested to see how, I don't know, how long and how much money Gutekunst is willing to give up to acquire him, because it's going to take a pretty penny. Michael, have you ever been into / watched hockey? I'm sure it's odd for Wisconsin because they don't really have a pro team, but it's a great sport. Michael, I'll tell you what. Back in the day, we're a Bleacher Report. We played NHL hockey on the Xbox all the time, like every day after work, and that was a ton of fun. I've never been majorly into the sport, but I will say I think it was my freshman year in North Carolina School of the Arts was coinciding with the first year of the Hurricanes, and they literally would come to our campus and offer free tickets to Hurricane games because they wanted people in the stands. And what better way than to entice college kids to come watch some hockey and drink some beer? So that's what we did. We would go up, you know, it was a bit of a drive, but we'd go watch the Hurricanes play. And that's the first hockey I ever watched. That was back in 96, I think it was. And it's so much fun when you're in the arena. But it's not the kind of thing I would ever watch on television, unless it's the playoffs, because, you know, the heightened stakes, NHL playoff hockey is awesome. But yeah, it's never really something I've gotten too into. I just, you know, it's only so many hours in the day. What are the expectations for Savage in year two? Good question, Mr. Inglewood. Well, you got to see development. You got to see a lot more consistency. I know he was dealing with injury when he came back his rookie year. You saw he had a really rough NFC Championship game. Some really poor angles, some really bad tackling attempts. Just when I'm talking about consistency, no bad angles, solid tackles, a little bit more playmaking ability. I mean, I think you saw him thinking a little bit, but that's to be expected for a rookie. He's just got to get out of his head a little bit, and I think those plays will come. Yeah, more than anything, you got to see consistency, not only week in and week out, but play in and play out, because there are times when you see him, he just jumps off the tape, playing center field. And if there's an outside run, he's just flying down and making the play. And then there's plays where he just completely looks lost. Got to cut those out. Got to get a lot more consistency. Austin, thanks for the super chat. Do you see both Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams getting re-signed to Green Bay when the time comes? I like them both, but I feel like they'll only re-sign Jones. Austin, I think there's a good chance, Williams will be in his last year in Green Bay this season. I would not be surprised whatsoever if they draft a running back this year to kind of pave the way for Jamal's exit. And we all love Jamal. We love the dancing. We love the productivity. We love his blocking, his physicality. He's a mutter. Love the guy. But as you said, you know, it's hard to see them paying both running backs. And if there's a choice to be made, Jones is the obvious choice. Popeye Rock recently pointed out successful inside linebackers can be found in any round or undrafted. Is this because measuring instincts is difficult? Well, I think that's some of it. I mean, I think it's – I get what Larry's saying. I think you can find productive guys throughout the draft, and I think Martinez is a perfect example of that. But I think the Packers have done that for a long time. They've kind of gotten by at the position, and just once I'd like them to kind of be proactive inside. Now, that's just personal preference on my part. Who knows what Gutekunst thinks, but yeah, I think you can. Part of it is, you know, trying to measure instincts, but I do think you can see some of that on tape. You can see a guy who's able to diagnose, is really good when it comes to Monday through Saturday, as far as his tape work and, knowing what teams like to run in certain situations and, or what formations are kind of tells for what's coming. But that in and of itself is a bit hard to test and kind of discern. So, yeah, I do think you can find guys throughout the draft, but the athleticism that separates the top echelon of inside backers, you know, they go early in the draft for a reason. And here's hoping the Packers finally pull the trigger on one. Bryson, can we really count on Aaron Jones staying healthy for 16 games again? It's a good question. It's something Gutekunst and company are undoubtedly wondering themselves. And that's part of the reason why I will be very surprised if they don't draft a running back. And that's not to completely dismiss Dexter Williams, but man, he had a rough time getting on the field his rookie year. I had a rough time with the playbook, kind of digesting the calls and checks, all the check with me's at the line of scrimmage. Apparently really struggled there. So I think, like I said, I'll be surprised if they don't take it back. And, for one, to kind of pave the way for a Jamal Williams exit. And two, what you're talking about there. I mean, in a three-year career, Jones has played 16 games one time. So there's no doubt that they got to kind of fortify and ready themselves. Ooh, Tamor, good question. Denzel Mims or Brandon Ayuk in the first round? I'll probably go Mims. I like them both. Mims really blew it up at the combine. They both kind of did. But, yeah, I think Mims is probably the choice of those two, but I think it's real. I'd be happy with either one, no doubt about it. Will this year or next year be the start of Gutekunst and LaFleur building a team around LaFleur scheme instead of supporting QB number 12? I mean, that's a tricky one, John, because, you know, every time you broach either one of them about it, and I actually asked Gutekunst point blank at the combine, what does Aaron have to do better in year two? And he completely punted on the question. They're both so timid and or afraid of insulting the combine. What does Aaron have to do better in year two? And he completely punted on the question. The guy that makes it go on offense, he's the thing that stirs the drink, so to speak. He touches the ball on every play. The offense should run through Aaron Jones. There's no doubt about that. But he's not on the field every play. As we were just discussing, you know, Aaron Jones got to make it through 16 games. A big part of that is load management. Thanks, LeBron. I don't doubt for a second that they will continue to evolve on offense. You'll see more of the Shanahan, McVay, LaFleur stuff. But I think there's always going to be an aspect of what they do in the spread, the stuff at the line of scrimmage, the stuff that Aaron loves and is really comfortable with. That's always going to be a part of it as long as Aaron's in town. I'll take one or two more here, people. Well, here's a good one, Corey. Travis asks, Nagler or Banky faster at the 40-yard dash?
Nah.
I'm going to go with Banky just because he doesn't drink as much as I do. Will Bakhtiari become a Bulaga 2.0 by moving from left tackle to right tackle? If so, when do you see this might happen? Oh, Allison, I'd be shocked if he moved to right tackle, now, et cetera. But I think Bakhtiari will be a left tackle for his career. And if, you know, the Packers don't want him at left tackle, I'm sure he'd be happy to hit free agency and go someplace else. But yeah, maybe they use a franchise tag on him. Who knows? But yeah, I think they'll keep him at left tackle and they'll search for their right tackle. No, LeBron doesn't load manage, but he's the one who came up with the phrase. At least that's what my people in NBA media tell me. Dustin, thanks so much for the super chat. Happy Tuesday, gents. Thanks for carrying the G in the offseason. That's what we try to do, man. Hey, and speaking of carrying the G, hit like, hit subscribe.com/CheeseheadTV. Speaking of Patreon, I am taking on the next Patreon challenge in Madden tonight. Cody and I are throwing down at 8 p.m. I'll let you guys know how it turns out. And if you would like to challenge me to a game of Madden, I haven't lost yet. Join Patreon. I'm taking on Patreon members each and every week throughout the offseason. It's been a lot of fun so far, but I need a challenge. So throw down. Thanks a lot, everybody. I'll be back tomorrow. Go Pack, go.